In Bible conference time, let's take our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke is a very different author of Scripture. I've got to be very careful this morning. Brother Tim said he started a few minutes early. That won't help us today, but I've got so many rabbit trails, it looks like a Scrabble puzzle. So I've got to be real careful. So if you're visiting here this morning, next week will be a lot better. Brother Tim will be preaching, so make sure you're here for that. But Luke is a very different writer. He's a medical doctor and has a lot of different background than the other disciples. Traveled with the Apostle Paul, a lot of Greek in him, but he wrote about some things in his gospel that you don't find anywhere else, and things of Christ. And the purpose, one of the big purposes or intents in preaching, and the task of the preacher is try to get people to see the Lord Jesus Christ and love Him, and to try to get you to love Him more. If you don't know Him, try to get you introduced to Him so you want to know Him. If you do know Him, try to get you to want to know Him more and love Him more. And to love the Lord our God with all our heart is a difficult thing in a day of distractions. And I think the Bible is giving so many different pictures of Jesus through the Gospels so that we could have such a great view of the Lord that He would just be bigger and bigger and more endeared to our heart as our Savior. And Luke writes about a time in the life of Jesus that nobody else even discusses. We have a record of His birth and, of course, His ministry, and even a picture of Him in eternity past, but there is no record of Him in His adolescence, in that youthful time. And much of that is silent in the Bible, except for this text. I've preached from this text a couple of times, but boy, every time you look into the Bible, it just opens up anew. And if you would look with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke 2 and verse 41 together, please. The Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." God will bless His word. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would gain our attention this morning. And Lord, that we wouldn't just go to church today, but we would meet with You, and that You would change the way we think, the way we live, the way our hearts are. Lord, I pray whoever's here today, I don't know these people's lives, I certainly don't know their hearts, but God, I pray that You would do something special in each life, and we'll give You the praise, the credit, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I would entitle this message from just what we have read, Forgetting Jesus. they go a journey without their son. They forget about him. The interesting thing of Luke, probably tonight, by the grace of God, I will be preaching from the end of the book of Luke, as in the last chapter, chapter 24, there's also another journey there. It's very interesting. In Luke chapter 2, what you find is the parents of Jesus on a long journey, and they think Jesus is with them, and they do not know that he's not there. At the end of the book of Luke, you have two people traveling with Jesus, but they don't know that he is there. It's amazing, and there's so much there. Hopefully, we'll get into some of that maybe by the grace of God tonight. But this morning, this journey that's without Jesus, let me tell you, your life, the journey of your life is too precious and too serious for you to travel it forgetting about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm in church this morning. I don't think you could find a better couple than Mary and Joseph. They're not involved in sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says this journey was a part of their faithfulness. You see that in verse 41? The Bible said his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast. I mean, and by the way, I've been to Nazareth, I've been to Jerusalem, and I've driven it by car. And it's a long journey, especially if you're not in an automobile or something like that. And to make this journey was difficult. I'd say today, you might think it's difficult, more difficult today to be faithful to God, but it's always difficult to be faithful. It's people of character that will be faithful in spite of the difficulties. Joseph could have said, man, I got work to do. You know, you only have to get in your car and come to... however many miles you come to church in your car, take you a few minutes. But I mean, he's having a long journey all the way down and all the way back, and work plays second fiddle to his faithfulness. Can you say that today? There is something more important than your job. It's your faithfulness to your God. Well, it's a long journey. It's going to cost me a lot of money. It's a hardship. He's faithful. These are faithful people. Get the picture. They are faithful people. You can't get... when God picked out one woman to bring forth his son through her womb, he couldn't have found a better woman. These are good people. Joseph, probably an unsung hero in the Bible, a just man, his character impeccable. These are great people, and they still forgot Jesus. They totally forgot about it. Why do we forget Jesus? I tell you what, take your Bible to Hosea chapter 13 and get Deuteronomy 6 with your other hand. I don't know about you, but especially as I get older, I start to forget more. And I don't like it. And a lot of times it costs me. You know what I'm saying? On this trip here, I forgot something. And I bugged your pastor trying to, because, you know, I've got all my messages in my computer. Well, your computer don't help you much if you forgot the cord to charge it and turn it on, you know. Two times, and one very recently, I tell you what, I forgot something some things you forget will stick with you. You will continue to pay the price. I forgot some seafood in my car. If you go out to my car right now and open the back door, you'll see this white powder all over the back seat and in the floor. It's not cocaine, no. It's baking soda. I scrubbed it. I left it. I left the seafood in there all night long. All night long. And I've done everything I know to do. And it's my forgetfulness is still with me today. I got in the car this morning and, oh, there's my forgetfulness. You know, when you forget things, it'll cost you. And now you can forget earthly things of life. But when we forget the most important things in our life, the cost is even much greater. And we are in a generation where people have forgotten God. They have forgotten Jesus Christ. They have forgotten the Master. And it's not that they're adulterers. And it's not that they're sodomites or whoremongers. The best people in the world can live their lives in utter forgetfulness of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just living life. Just going on the journey. Why do we forget Jesus? Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible, I think, gives one reason. I don't really think it's the reason of our text, but I'll read it nevertheless. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 13, watch it now, verse 6, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they what? Forgotten me. When you get full. When you get full, you forget. Hold your finger there in Hosea. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. America is the fullest land in the world. I don't care about all the economic problems and everything can go belly up tomorrow, but you are the fullest people in the world. And not just physically. Your bank accounts are full of debt. I mean, your lives are full. Amen. You've got all types of... You have all the comforts of life. And in the fullness and in the goodness of God in our lives. I don't think God's been better to any other nation on the planet today than He is to America. And in the fullness, there's forgetfulness. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fieldest not, and were digged, which thou wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. You got all this going for you, and you didn't do it. I did it for you, and then be in all that fullness. You just forget about me because your mind is on your fullness instead of on me. Because a lot of times when you're empty and barren, you sort of are a little bit more interested and desperate and thirsty and hungry. I'm not putting guilt trip on you because you're full. I'm just saying in our fullness, we can't forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Bible says, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks. By the way, you don't have it bad. You've got it great. You have got it great. Travel a little bit. Get out of the house. Like, get out of America. And you'll come back and you'll say, God, you have been good to me. Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware lest thou forget not the Lord thy God. Verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. I told you to leave your finger in Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, we forget Jesus because we're so full. This is just introduction. We forget Jesus because we're in love with too many other things. Hosea chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 13, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. We forget Jesus when we fall in love with other things. Things that didn't die for you. enamored, concentrated on things of loves of the world, of things we can see, touch, people we can meet, just whatever. And we just forget about God because we're so involved in these other relationships. That's why the Lord, when He looked at His followers, He said, hey, you got to forsake everything. Every other relationship. Because if you don't, if your other relationships don't blossom out of your relationship with Me, what will happen? Your other relationships will cause you to forget Me. Even if they're good, even if they're proper, even if there's nothing wrong with them, even if you're Joseph and Mary, you will go through your journey of life in a barren wasteland of just living life and never remembering the Lord. No wonder, and we are not ritualistic people as Baptist people, but Jesus Christ left us as the body of Christ one ordinance or institution besides baptism that we do over and over and over and over again the same way. Why? Because we forget. This do in remembrance of Me. We live our lives without the consciousness of Him. And you can go to church without going to church with Him. And you can live your life without living your life with Him. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your being occupied with His presence. Go back to Luke 2. And maybe we can start the message. Three things. I never alliterate anything. Matter of fact, on purpose, I will have 5 points with an R and put the last one an S. On purpose. But this passage has 3 points. And if I don't get to all of them, you'll have the words. Verse 44. But they, what's the next word? Supposing. You see that? Look at verse 48. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee. What does it say? Sorrowing. Then look at verse 45. And when they found Him not, they anything. Jerusalem, what's that word? Seeking Him. They forgot Jesus, but they supposed that He was there. He's always here. Sure, He's there. I mean, he's always where He's supposed to be. Yeah, but you're not always where you're supposed to be. And we are prone to wonder, and Lord, I feel it. And sometimes I wonder far away from God. But I just suppose He's going to go with me. Maybe He doesn't want to go the way you're going. Maybe He's got business that's more important than the journey that you're taking. Supposing Him to have been in the company, it says in verse 44. The Bible said at the end of verse 43, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother, look at it, knew not of it. Now listen, guys, listen. I would say that to a mother and a father, the most valuable possession they've got is what? Is their child. How can you forget your child? That, can I tell you, that's not natural? That's not normal? To take a journey, especially a long journey, and you forget about your kids? I know you'd like to do that sometimes, but that's, you've got the responsibility. You ever been in a mall or a crowded place and you turn around and your kid was gone? And your heart just falls? It is not natural to go a day's journey and be totally oblivious to where your child is. Matter of fact, a child that is this important And it is not natural, and it is not normal, and it makes no sense for us to live our lives forgetting the most important person in our lives. It is not natural. It is not normal for you to spend your days and your moments and your life, living your life, not thinking about Jesus and not being in His presence, not talking to Him and not having a fellow. It's not natural. They knew not of it. How many people are oblivious to the fact they've drawn away from God, and they think and talk about everything else, and they're carrying on, getting everything ready for the trip and in their life. And it's contrary to the believer's nature to forget about that. But they did not know where Jesus was. But they just supposed He was there. I wonder this morning if you just suppose you're right with God. I wonder this morning if you just suppose you're saved. We had a Southern Baptist lady that had been coming, an older lady. And she walked the aisle. I never had this, Brother Tim. This old lady, I mean, she's an old lady. And she walked, she just visited the church. And down there in Mount Pleasant, she sat down and heard the Word of God. And we're preaching on Jesus through the book of Hebrews. And she walked down. And all she did, Brother Tim, she walked down and she just stood there and she looked straight at me. So I went down there and she said, I don't know, and I want to know. And all these years I have supposed that everything's all right. Now look, it's not my job to talk you in and out of anything. But I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, that there are people that are supposing that that Christ is in them and He's not. And there are people that suppose that they're right with God and in fellowship with God, and God's not in 15 miles of their life. And that doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're just Joseph and Mary traveling back home without the Lord. Surely He's there. I mean, I'm going to church this morning. Surely He's here. I got my Bible out this morning. Surely He's there. You know how many places in the Bible somebody supposed something and it wasn't true? As a matter of fact, let me just read you what the definition of the word suppose is. To suppose is this. To assume that something is the case on the basis of evidence or probability, but without proof or certain knowledge. Oh, I've got my evidence, I've got my belief, but I don't have certain knowledge. Most of the suppositions in the Bible were false. Look at Luke, you're in Luke, look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Is everybody all right? Yeah. Now I tell you, if y'all get out at 12 normally, or wherever you get out, or if you're a visitor, I'm just going to preach this morning, all right? Because this is a Bible conference, all right? And I'll be gone, and you'll forget about me, all right? And Brother Joe's going to feed everybody after church, so you don't have to worry about that. Amen. All right, the Bible said in Luke chapter 3, look at it, verse 23, watch this. And Jesus Himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. But guess what? They're wrong. He was not, but they supposed. Look at chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We'll just look at the ones in Luke. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Jesus said this. Luke 12, 51, a verse that no political party or no major religious group would ever believe, want, or speak, or even talk about. Luke 12, 51, Jesus said, suppose ye that I am come to give you, to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, your supposition was wrong. You were sure I was going to give peace. You Jews were sure I was going to usher in the kingdom. You Jews were sure I'm going to get Caesar off your back and it's just going to be peace for the nation. But you suppose wrong. I'm bringing a sword. You had one supposition coming to church, but that was wrong. Look at chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. How many things do we just suppose in our lives? but it's just not true. Luke 24, verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Oh, I saw a ghost. No, you didn't see a ghost. Well, I've read all this stuff and I would not want to build my life on a supposition that wasn't true. You've got to have facts. Here's my question. Is Jesus with you? Is Jesus with you? I didn't say, is Jesus in you? I said, is He with you? He said, what's the difference? There's a problem. Because our text says in chapter 2, verse 44, but they supposing Him to have been in the company. They just thought He was in the company. But the problem was He was not in their company. They thought He was in the caravan, but He wasn't in their presence. Well, sure, He's at church today, but is He with you? Is His presence a reality in your life? Or are you living your life just oblivious and just supposing that He's there? Look at John chapter 8. I've got to give you some of these real quick. Is Jesus with you? Or are you just supposed that He is? The Bible said in John 8:29, Jesus says, and He that sent Me is with Me. Now I want you to look at that. He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. You know why? The Father was always with you. You say, well, Jesus is God, of course. Yeah, but it was different for God to be with Him because He pleased His Father. Is God omnipresent? Does that mean He's everywhere? Don't we believe that? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to go where God's not? But that's one truth. But Moses still went up to the mountain to meet with God. Jesus can be in you, but not with what you're doing. Not with your life. And Jesus said, I always please the Father, and He's with me because I'm always, if my life would begin to please the Father more, maybe He would be with me. Don't you think that God's people have forgotten that Jesus, forgotten about Jesus, and He's not really with them? Because really, really, would you do that thing? Would you say that word? Would you go that place if you really believed Jesus was with you at that time? Would you click on it if you believed He was with you? Wow, indwelling Holy Spirit. I know all that. But that's enough for Him to be with you right there. No, He ain't with that. You ever heard somebody say, you know, get with it? Well, Jesus is not getting with a lot of things. He's not in our company. You ever been in the car alone by yourself driving? The presence of Jesus Christ ought to be such a reality in your life. You're alone in your car and you belch. You ought to say, excuse me. Because I've met some of those old men of God that walk with God and they look like they're just batty. They're talking to somebody that's not there because He's with them. I'm telling you what, so many people are living their life and Jesus isn't there. Good, saved Joseph and Mary, but He's not there. The Bible says about our Savior in the book of Acts, that the power of God was working in His life because God was with Him. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If God is always with us, then what does it mean to draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you if He's already there with you? Am I preaching heresy this morning?
Are you?
In other words, I'm supposed to draw nigh to God because sometimes I'm traveling my journey without His presence there. Have you read 1 Corinthians 14? You know what he says? He said, I will sing with the Spirit. He said, I will pray with the Spirit. He said, I will bless with the Spirit. I'm not just praying. I'm praying with God. I can pray and not pray with God. I can sing and not sing with God. I can bless and not bless with God. I can preach and not preach with God. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired of traveling the journey of life and living life without God being with what I'm doing.
Amen.
I don't want to go through the motions. I want Him to be there. Just supposing. That scripture says we are co-laborers together with God. Maybe that's why a lot of our labor falls on the ground, because He's not there working with us. We're digging the own ditch ourselves instead of digging it with Him. With God. All things are possible. But not with me. Paul said when he wrote those scriptures, he said they were written. Listen, I'm going to quote the exact words. 2 Corinthians 3:3. It was written with the Spirit of the living God. He's writing. But God is writing with Him. Do you understand? The man in whom I understand, just like you and I, the Spirit of God indwelt Paul. But as he wrote the Scripture, he wrote the Scripture with the Spirit of the living God. A lot of times we can just pick up the pen and we just suppose and we just forget. And we're doing the living instead of the life that I now live in the flesh. It's Jesus living through me, not me. If Jesus, do we believe that hymn? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Well, what if he don't want to go there? Well, sure, he'll want to go where I'm going. No, because His business is more important than your business. And His will is more important than my will. David writes, man, God was with David. He also had the indwelling Spirit, but God was with David. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. I think He's there. He leadeth me beside still. He restoreth my soul. He's doing all this in my life. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art. You know why we get afraid? He ain't there. Well, we don't understand He's there. Thou art with me. I never forget, we were preaching years and years ago. He said, well, preacher, I want God to be with me. I don't want to forget about Him. I want His presence. Well, you know, you can walk with God, right? Is that a phrase we use? Enoch walked with God. God wants to walk with you. He wants to be with you. Matter of fact, he sent a preacher to Asa, King Asa, and he said this. Listen now. He said this. As long
is you'll be with Him, He'll be with you. But not if you just carry on the journey of your life like you don't really need Him. And that you can function without Him. As long, if you really want Him to be with, He wants to be with you. Amen. I was preaching in Virginia years ago. We had a guy in the church nobody understood, Brother Tim.
He was a World War II veteran. He was a POW. Not on, in the Japanese theater. He was a POW in the German theater. And he was captured and appealed for years by the Germans. And when he was finally released, and he lived a wicked life, he was all confused about life, everything else. He came back those mountains and he got gloriously saved. And nobody quite understood Brother Delbert Williams' Christianity. But I'll never forget, I was preaching one I was just preaching. And I was preaching with God. Is it all right to say that? I wasn't just preaching. I was preaching with God. Amen. And I mean, it just got on and God was working and moving. And Brother Delbert Williams, he was seated on the left side about halfway back. And the tears just start rolling down his face. And God started speaking in his heart. And he was there in the message. And he all of a sudden he let out a shout, "Whoo!" And I'm just preaching. And the boy said, "Preacher, preacher." He interrupted me while I was preaching. He said, "Preacher, preacher." I said, "What, Delbert?" He said, "Jesus is here." I said, "Delbert, I know He's here." He said, No, He's right here." "He's right here." And everybody could have scratched their head. But you know what? I think he wasn't supposing. I don't think it was a song. Just another song, or just another message, or just another trip to church, or just another prayer. But it was Jesus with him. And that's what he needed, and that's what he wanted, and that's what he got. And I laughed, and I chuckled, and I thought, "Lord, why don't we miss you more when we just..." How can we go a day's journey? You see our text there, Luke chapter 2? They went a day's journey in that condition. 24 hours without Jesus being there. How can you do that? They went a day's journey. The Bible said in verse 44, before they ever missed Him. How could you do that? The only thing I know is just familiarity breeds contempt. They just got used to Him always being there. Because He never did anything wrong. He's there. But when you get used to something, you're not excited about it anymore. You're not as interested anymore. You're just used to it. Sort of like people get used to being married. You get used to being saved. But the interesting thing in Luke chapter 2, everybody else about Jesus is excited. Everybody else in Luke chapter 2 is overjoyed. Have you read there in verse 8 to 20 of chapter 2? What are the shepherds doing? Wow, there the angels are praising God. And the shepherds are excited. And the shepherds are captivated. And Simeon, he's just excited and overjoyed. He said, "Man, now I can die. Now I've seen Him. He's here." And Anna's been waiting for this all of her life. And whoo, right there's Jesus. Even the doctors and the lawyers, the old stuffed shirts, they're sitting down at His feet, captivated and just astounded. The 12-year-old Jesus is answering all their questions and they're just enamored with Him. And Joseph and Mary are traveling 24 hours just because it's old hat. The Son of God is old hat. God in the flesh is just God, and the another day with God in the flesh. Take something sensational to get our attention, or something terrible to get our attention, instead of our heart crying out, saying, God, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I don't want to forget about you. I want to be with you. No wonder Joseph looked at the type of Christ, looked at the butler or the baker and said, he said, remember me when you get out of this place. Just remember me. And Jesus said, just remember me. And the barrenness of our lives, and the emptiness of our lives, and the hollowness of our lives is because we are journeying without His presence with us. Can you sing it with me? King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me. Lead me to God. Can you imagine the journey back after they found out he wasn't there? Well, I thought you had him. Well, you're his dad. Didn't you see? You're the head of the house. You're supposed to take responsibility. Why didn't you do it? Well, you're his mom. Can you imagine that trip back? Because it was just as far back as it was out. 24 hours back. When they get there, I guess they had to look for him a little longer, because the Bible said, verse 46, it was 3 days. They found him 3 days later. Whole message in that. 3 days later they found him. And the Bible said that Mary looks at him in verse 48 and says, Son, thy father and I have sought thee. Sorrowing every hour that ticked by. I wonder if he ate today. I wonder if he had a place to sleep last night. I wonder if somebody abused him. Where is he? Oh God, you put in trust to us your only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, and we forgot about him. Oh, what happened to him? Oh, we got to find him. Where do we go first? And their life is filled with guilt and pain and sorrow and anxiety and turmoil. Why? Because they forgot about it. But when they left, they didn't have those feelings. But when they got down the road, they did. And Mary looks at Jesus and said, why hast thou dealt with us so? It's your fault. You're always in the company. It's your fault. Why didn't you get on board? You knew we were leaving. It's your fault. How many of our sorrows and cares do we blame on our God? And Jesus in His grace answered gracefully. He could have said, how can you go a day, Mom, without me? How can you forget about me, Mom? The angel came and announced, and you knew what a miracle I was. How can you forget about me, Mom? Don't blame Jesus. He said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?
Mom, Joseph, what I've got to do is more important than your trip. The Father's business is more important than your trip. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, the Father's business is still more important than your trip. The business of Jesus is more important than your life. And when our lives are not immersed in the business of God, there is sorrow, turmoil, sadness, accusation, because we forgot about the whole purpose He saved us.
He said, but you know, she said, we sought you. We found you. But it took them a while. Because the first place they looked is not where he was. We see verse 44. I'm about finished. Everybody doing okay? See, they used to go to church and they'd forget about everything else. I mean, we only do this so often. That early church, it's daily. Every day. Oh God, help us to come into your presence and just forget about everything else. Say, Lord, I want to be with you. I don't care what's for lunch. I don't care how long my nap will be. But while preachers preach, people remember everything else. Bible said in verse 44, middle of verse, they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. But you know what? He wasn't there. How many people are looking for Jesus in all the wrong places? You'll not find him in the place of success. You'll not find him with friends and family members and kinsfolk that he's not with them either. How many Christians are trying to find a relationship with God with people that don't even know God? Where are they going to find Jesus? They're going to find him where they left him. They're going to find him the last place they saw him. They're going to find him in the place before they made all the decisions that took them out of his presence. They got to travel all the way back to where they were before. You'll find it where you left it, Christian. You'll find that first love in the place that you left it and scattered throughout all those decisions that took your mind off of it. And the Scripture's still true. Seek and ye shall find. People usually find, people seek for what they're interested in. You want God, you want the presence of God, you want the fellowship of God, you want the fullness of the Lord and His Word in your life, then seek it. Paul looked at those Athenians and he said, seek the Lord, He's not very far from any one of us, even you godless people. Feel after him. We said, feel it. He's there. But you got to want to look. The Bible's God's gold mine. People don't want to dig. All the treasures are hidden in Christ. So many people are not interested. They're living their life. They're carrying on with their journey. God, help me to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God, I want You. I just don't want to go to church. I want You. And that's what we're missing today. I want You, God. I want You with me. I don't want to take another step without you.
I don't want to make another decision without you. I don't want to live another boring year without you. When they got back there and got in his presence, he had all the answers, Brother Joe. He answered every question. He had all the answers. Don't forget Jesus. Joseph. Mary. Let's bow our heads for prayer, Father. Lord, would you please help our lives and forgive us, O Lord. We're sorry that you had to institute a Lord's table so we wouldn't forget. We need you, Lord, and we don't want to carry on our careless journey in oblivion to you. Wake us up, God, so we'll know where we are and get us where we need to be. Bless these good people, Lord. I'm sure they're the Josephs and the Marys of today. Help them not to forget you. Help them to desperately seek you with all their heart. Lord, if there was ever a day we need to seek your face, it's today. Help us, Lord, please. And we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name.